Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and this morning's conversation is with Mai Canales, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Treasury. And joining us in our conversation is Jay Tanzing, PwC consultant. Well, Mai, in our first segment, you talked about your role with the CIO Council. Could you tell us about the Council and what it is it does?
Okay, well, we're on federal and Treasury CIO Council, so I'll start with federal. We have the new political appointee, Mark Forman, who is the OMB Director for IT and e-government that we're working with federally. He chairs the Federal CIO Council. And my boss, actually, the CIO of Treasury, Jim Fleisig, is the vice chair of the Federal CIO Council. We've reorganized recently to meet the demands of the new e-government movement and the president's management agenda. We've structured into three standing committees, workforce and human capital, which are some of the key issues in government and I think in private sector as well. Best practices, where we have the models and looking at what people have done in industry or other governments that might be useful to us as we do things. And then we have government-wide architecture and infrastructure, looking at the underlying standards and tools that we all need to interoperate or talk to each other across government, local, state, and federal, not just federal. Then myself and Craig Lugart, the CIO of Education, we used to be the e-government committee. Well, everything is e-government now. So what we're doing is we're coordinating for the e-government committees that are out there. We're trying to coordinate with the CFOs and CIOs and procurement people federally. We have what's called the Quad Council that we meet with. We coordinate with the state and local government. We provide the program management for Mark so that we all have performance metrics, business cases, business skills, access to somebody doing research for us, white papers as we look at models and things like that. So we provide all the underlying structures for Mark to kind of get e-government moving. The Treasury CIO Council is really quite similar. We function as a board of directors for Treasury, kind of managing the enterprise solutions, what we're going to do together, how we want to spend our money, what are the underlying frameworks that we all have to live with, for instance, architecture.
How do these councils really do their work? You mentioned coordinate, which is sometimes persuasive and not managing or directive. How do they get work done?
Well, in the Treasury CIO Council, really, we don't mandate. We look at what has the most value for us, and it really is a business decision, and we agree on certain business decisions, like portal technology, for one. We wanted to have a framework that makes sense across Treasury, so we could do communities of practice, like procurement, where we have maybe one agency or bureau taking the lead on enterprise procurements. Well, that means all the procurement people need to function as one procurement shop. So a community of practice or an interchange of information that's secure and reliable and makes them look and function as one community is something that made sense to us. Records management. We were all looking at workflow, document management, records management. Only one bureau, the Mint, had done anything at all with document management. So rather than build 14 solutions, we decided, well, this is a good enterprise endeavor. So we're doing that together. Our architecture, of course, is an enterprise endeavor. Things like secure transactions, PKI technology, public key infrastructure, where we use that to authenticate and provide secure transmission of electronic files. We're doing that together. In fact, we're doing that federally together. But on the federal level, it's a little bit different. We had a task force look at different e-government initiatives and what we should do federally. And we had, I think, about 100 submitted from the different agencies. We interviewed all the key agency leaders, CIOs, deputy CIOs, deputy secretaries. I don't think they interviewed any secretaries. I'm not sure. But they interviewed key people in all the departments. And we picked what was most important. And many of similar things fell out, like travel, records management, architecture, PKI for secure transmissions. And then other things fell out, business processes that crossed many agencies, like trade, grants, wage and tax systems that we deal with all the businesses on. But on the federal effort, the key thing was citizen-focused, result-oriented. So we tried to pick things that citizens really wanted and had been asking for through the years, and things that helped us in dealing with reducing the paperwork burden on businesses and states and local government, things that made life easier.
Are there barriers to coordination?
Definitely. The culture barrier, which I think we talked about a little bit earlier today, where, you know, it's going to be a change. You know, things that happen across many agencies where each agency had its own little portion. Agriculture might be looking at just the farming issues associated with trade or things coming into the country associated with food. Transportation is concerned with the transport vehicles coming into the country. Customs is concerned with the law enforcement side of import. INS is concerned with the people coming into the country. So we all had our own little systems that dealt with just those pieces. Well, now we're going to have a system that, you know, deals with the whole thing. And that system is the easy part. It's getting all those people to work together as one seamless process. That's the hard part. You know, what if you're applying for a student loan online? You have all the information there, and then you happen to be downtown one day and you walk into the Department of Education. Well, you should be able to get the same service even if your loan was from Department of Veterans Affairs, because it really was a GI student loan. People don't really know, you know, where it comes from. They don't really care. Well, government needs to adapt to that. That's the hard part. That's the barrier.
E-government is a large part of what you're doing on your role on the federal and the Treasury CIO councils. And FirstGov is one of the big e-government initiatives. Can you tell us a little bit about what the involvement is in this project, and how will you measure its success?
Well, FirstGov is, for the first time, a single entry into all government services. At first, we started with just informational components, but now, as we progress, we're moving more into transactions like student loans online, you know, passports online, grants online. Not that agencies didn't have those pieces and parts by themselves, but this gives it more of a federal look and feel, and all the components are in one place. So if you look at FirstGov as the entry into government, it's going to play a vital role. It may provide all of the tools and standards, the security. It may provide the architecture for us to the search engines. It will play a vital role in everything we do in the e-government arena across government. I think as we grow in FirstGov too, at first it was just federal. Then we started doing searches on states, and the next link will be local. So it really is trying to tie all the levels of government together. And I think the success will be measured by its popularity, how many people use it, citizens, businesses, how many people are coming in through FirstGov and finding what they need through FirstGov.
Let me ask you to take a step back and tell us, give us your definition of e-gov. I know you've described the transactions, and I've imagined doing them while you're doing it. Is that what e-government's all about?
Actually, that's the last piece of e-government. I think e-government is probably as little about the technology as about anything else. E-government is providing government in various forms to citizens and businesses, providing what they want from government in an easy way, whether it's online, which is what most people think of e-government, they think of a web page. But if you think about it, you should be able to walk in, fax, call, go online, do whatever. E-government is providing government as a business process. In other words, providing loans as a business process, providing trade as a business process, providing grants and assistance to agencies or other entities in business as a business process, looking at that service as a whole. That's what I think e-government is.
What are the challenges of sort of rolling that vision out while also dealing with the needs for privacy and security? I mean, one imagines filling out the loan, as you described, giving information or perhaps having information about me already resident at the place where the loan is being asked for. So how are we going to pull those together?
Well, I think we will do all the tool. Well, I know we will do all the tools and standards for security and privacy across government as one of the e-government initiatives. I have to say, I have my favorite anecdote. People will hand their credit card to a complete stranger in a restaurant. That complete stranger, who usually is not anybody you know on a regular basis, just walks off with your credit card for 20 minutes, leaves it lying around where other complete strangers can get it, and then comes back after a while and you sign for it. Well, people think of online security as being such a, mysterious thing because it is online. And I think what it is that scares people is that there's so much access to information. I mean, it's not just your credit card. It's everything about you and everything about everyone around you. What we need to provide is a sense of comfort to people that shows, this is the risk factor you're taking, and it should be minimal. I mean, nobody is going to guarantee complete risk-free anything, whether you're paying with your credit card in a store or whether you're going online to Southwest Airlines buying an online ticket. they can tell you this is the security we provide, and we need to in government provide that. And the technology is out there to provide it, whether it be, you know, biometrics or whether it be smart cards or whether it be public key infrastructure with certificates that, you know, like Spain is looking at a solution where people go to the post office or to their mint, which does their currency and coins, and identify themselves, prove that they are who they are, and they get a certificate. And their certificate works when they go online and buy government services. We just need to do something similar. And it's not rocket science, you know? So we need to find similar ways of doing that, but the technology exists.
Well, that's a good stopping point because it's time for a break. Rejoin us in our conversation with Mai Canales, the Department of Treasury. This is the Business of Government Hour.
How can your agency cultivate a culture of innovation? Find out by downloading the Endowment's new report, Understanding Innovation, What Inspires It, What Makes It Successful, by Jonathan Walters at endowment.pwcglobal.com.